We're supposed to stay home as much as possible right now, and that means more of us have to feed ourselves. It's not as easy as swinging into a restaurant instead of going home on the way from work. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. This hour, we're strategizing. We're going to leverage those few trips we take to the grocery store and get what we need and make something delicious by the time we're done. But we can't do it alone. Now is the time to call on an expert. James Shend is the deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine based out of Milwaukee, and he's back with us here on the Ideas Network. James, good to talk with you. Hi, James.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome back to the Ideas Network. Before we get into
having me back,
absolutely. Before we get into those specifics and all of the great tips you're going to offer us, first, can you give us a little bit of a pep talk to help those among us who are untrained or maybe a little, intimidated? I'm not naming names here. I'm just saying.
Well, not exactly. Nothing right now is worth panicking over. It's like a lot of people have things in their pantry, in their freezer, and refrigerator, and I don't think many people are going to be going hungry. They just kind of lack the skills to utilize what's in there and without going to a store to supplement the recipe. So it just takes a little bit of common sense at the moment and experimenting a little bit. So.
Okay. Well, we'll get to work on that then this hour. We're talking with James Shend, and we want to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. How are you making the most of what you've got in your pantry or your refrigerator? Or maybe you're putting together a shopping list. What staples do you buy because you know you can use them a bunch of different ways? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. James, let's start with some more comforting, kind of heavier foods. Let's talk about casseroles. Why are they such a go-to dish when you don't want to run to the store to pluck a couple of more ingredients?
Well, casseroles are one of those things that you can pretty much throw almost anything together, and it's going to come out tasting good. As long as you keep thinking about what are the ingredients going in and do they go together? Most of the time, you just need some kind of binding agent, and that's usually like a sauce, like a milk-based or cheese-based sauce. So this is where you see a lot of those cream of something soups come into play, like cream of mushroom, chicken, celery, whatever you've got. If you don't have those in your pantry, then don't worry about it. There's a lot of substitutions you can make. So if you have milk, you can make a white sauce or what is commonly known as a bechamel sauce with some flour, butter, and you cook that off and add the milk to it, and it will thicken up nicely. If you want a cheese sauce, throw some cheese in there. And then you just use that to kind of encompass everything that you want to put into it, whether it be cooked off ground beef or some kind of sausage. If you have leftover chicken or something from the night before, throw that in, whatever vegetables you want to put in there. Typically, you try to use something that's a little bit cooked. So like raw broccoli is great because it cooks fast. Same thing with cauliflower. Harder vegetables like carrots or potatoes, they're going to need a little bit longer cooking time. So it's good to kind of pre-cook those a little bit. But just kind of keep the flavor profiles together that you know your family likes. And then you can spice it up with a little bit of herbs or spices and things like that. And then kind of raid the snack drawer. It's like if you've got like a bag of crushed potato chips, throw those on top. Pretty much anything is a go with casseroles. That's what's so great about them.
Do you recommend a specific kind of pan or a specific strategy when it comes to actually cooking it and making sure that it's done and things are ready to go by the time you're hungry?
So typically I like to use the bigger, shallower dishes. So like a 13x9 or an 11x7. If you've got a large skillet, like a 12-inch skillet, those work great as well. You kind of want to spread the food out so it cooks a little bit evenly. What you're looking for is, since some of your foods in there are going to be pre-cooked, you want to bring the temperature up to 165. That is the USDA requirement for to killing off any pathogens that may be in the food. So we always aim for 165. My visual cue usually is it bubbling? That usually kind of tells me that, yep, everything in there is cooked, it's hot. And I mean, who doesn't love pulling a casserole that's gooey and bubbly out of the oven?
All right. We're learning how to scrape together meals with the ingredients that we have with James Shend, deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine based out of Milwaukee. And you're part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have some tricks up your sleeve as a veteran home chef, or is cooking something you've picked up since sheltering in place? What do you like about it, or what's been your biggest challenge? Give us a call. Ask your question at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Help us with that strategy, James. We're supposed to stay home and limit our trips to the grocery store, so when we go, we have to make it count. What staples should we prioritize so that we can use them a bunch of different ways?
Well, it's funny. Now things are changing a little bit. It's like the staples are the things that your family uses the most. And so just kind of keep those things in mind. The ones that I typically go for, eggs. Eggs are a really good ingredient to have on hand. You can use them in baked goods, savory goods. So they're a very good source of protein, and you can use them in just about anything. Just try to have flour on hand. I've been hearing that there's been some runs on flour, and or that there's been some shortages, but I think they're starting to get them back in stock again. Frozen vegetables. Really good things to have on hand because the quality of them is outstanding usually because they're almost always harvested at the peak of flavor and then flash frozen, so they stay at that great flavor and nutrition. So you want to kind of have those on hand and get as much as you can in a variety of them because nothing is worse than having the same meals over and over and over again. So don't just stock up on like 6 bags of frozen broccoli. I typically tend to stay away from the fresh baked good things. They usually go out of they go stale pretty fast. Mm. But if you do have those, there's other things you can use them for. So like a stale bread, you can turn into a leftover strata or French toast, or even throw them in a food processor and turn them into breadcrumbs, which can go on top of your casserole. So there's a lot of things you can do there. Meats, when I'm seeing that there's some kind of meat on sale or in the store, I will grab those and then pop them in the freezer. Meats will last a good 6 months in the freezer. So those things are good to have on hand. A lot of times if I'm doing, like I'll find a roast or things and I'll cut them into smaller portions so I don't have to use the whole roast all at once. What else? Canned goods. Canned tomatoes, canned beans are really good to have on hand. They hold almost indefinitely. And that brings me to another point is a lot of people are going through their pantry right now and they're looking at the dates on some of these things and they're getting dismayed because some of them may have expired. But I really want to encourage people that the date on the can is not the throw it in the trash date. That is a date that is put on there by manufacturers to indicate when the peak freshness and quality of that is.
Sure. So if you don't see that can is bulging or that there's another issue, maybe the bag is broken or something doesn't seem fresh, that's a great reminder there. We're talking with James Shend this hour. He's the deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine based out of Milwaukee. And we're trying to figure out how to shop smart and use what we've got in our homes many different ways. Let us know how you handle this. What do you want to know about cooking with just the staples? How have you gotten clever with food? Is cooking something you enjoy or does it intimidate you a little bit? Let us know at 800-642-1234. The conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. When we're cooking for ourselves or our family or our roommates, we can fall into a rut. And then we get in that endless loop of, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What sounds good? I don't know. And then we end up eating a bowl of cereal at 8 o'clock at night after we've just given up. Our guest is trying to save us from repeatedly turning to the cold bran flakes, and you can help. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. How are you making the most of what you've got in the pantry or the refrigerator? What's that one ingredient that has you confused as to why you bought it in the first place? Because you don't know what to do with it. Ask our resident foodie here. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. James Shend is the deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine, and we're going through all of our options when it comes to cooking when we are at home. And James, Chris from Adams called and said that Chris was in the grocery store, ran into a woman who wanted to make bread with her kids, but as you mentioned, she couldn't find flour. So I guess two questions Chris has. One, can you make kinds of bread without flour? And then Chris is wondering how else to get kids involved and if that's a good idea right now.
Great question. Flour, unfortunately, is one of those things that it's a harder ingredient to replace. There are like flourless flours, so gluten-free things. Cornmeal is a good replacer for a lot of it. If you're going to be making something like cornbread, but you still need some kind of structure in there. That's why there's always just a little bit of flour in there. So I'm a little stumped at what you could do to replace some of the flour.
So maybe you just have to choose to make something else at that point?
Probably just, so. Yeah. It's a little bit harder. Or if they have something like Bisquick, like a boxed mix of like a biscuit mix, that might be a good alternative. I would just kind of keep trying the store to see if they get the flour back in stock. And then the second question of getting the kids involved, it's like I'm always a firm advocate of getting kids involved at an early age. I grew up in the kitchen helping my mom like cook dinners and things like that. So there's no task that I don't believe a child can handle. Just kind of figure out their age and what they're able to safely do. So I wouldn't start throwing them in with sharp knives and things like that.
Right.
But involve them. It's just like it's something as simple as just stirring the pot. And the kids are fascinated. They want to help. But it's like as they get older, teach them how to chop things and get them involved. Know and teach them how to safely handle these the equipment. And know that knives are sharp and that the ovens are hot, which is a standard teaching thing. But then why and what you're doing. As the kids get older, then you can start explaining some of those things like how does yeast work? Why does bread rise when you have yeast in it? And then so on and so on. And then kind of little tricks that you learn in the oven, like where's the hottest point of your oven? And this is a great time to pass along those skills because you're basically trapped inside your home and you've got nothing better to
do. Stop looking at my life, James. Stop. We've also found that that even turning the light on for the oven has really piqued their interest because they can swing by and look at what's happening and then kind of move on and come back and check on things. So that's been a cool opportunity, too. We've got Glenn from Milwaukee who wants to join the conversation. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. I was calling when the mad rush went to the grocery store. I realized that there was limited, so I told everybody at the household that the diets were kind of put on the back burner. We did a lot of pastas. I mean, I grabbed every type of pasta that there was available. But one of the meals that I've been making is I take the fresh pork chops and, like your guest was mentioning, the cream soups and stuff. I do a pork chop, cover it in cream of mushroom soup, and then the sliced mushrooms over the top, bake that, and then put it over the top of a bed of pasta. And then, of course, because we're in Wisconsin, top it with just a touch of cheese.
Of course, Glenn.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, Glenn.
It comes, and it's so simple to do. I mean, it's literally just a throw on a top. And then the other thing that we've been using a lot of is we're a tortilla family. We like a lot of different tortillas. And again, like your guest was saying, leftovers. I had leftover chicken from a chicken dinner. I rolled the chicken with and the tortillas with green peppers and peppers, rolled those up into like long enchilada style in a big roasting pan, covered that with a cream of chicken soup over the top, baked that and brought those out, and they were like, and then cheesed it, of course, on the top, and they came out like, I call them American-style burritos.
Hmm, interesting. They sound really fantastic, Glenn. Thanks for sharing that. So, James, Glenn actually, in both of those concoctions put together, showed us how Glenn is using those ingredients repeatedly, but for vastly different dishes.
Right. So, I mean, those cream-based soups are a really good way to add a lot of flavor, add a lot of structure, and then you can customize them any way you want. And so like Glenn's pork chop dish, I mean, you could throw in any kind of seasoning into that. So add some like Italian seasoning to that. You could probably drop a little fresh tomato on top and you have like an Italian spin on there. The cream of chicken soup on the enchiladas. Go ahead and add some chipotle peppers or jalapeno peppers. Kick that up a little bit more. You can also switch out the soups because there's a plethora of the different kinds of those cream-based soups. So the flavor combinations are just unlimited.
James Shend is deputy editor of Milwaukee-based Taste of Home magazine, and he's helping us figure out how to make the most of those pantry staples we've got this morning. Maybe you have a pasta recipe to share that maybe most of us have the ingredients already at home. Do you use rice in multiple ways? Or maybe you've found an ingredient that kind of surprised you that you wind up using over and over. Tell us about your favorite easy go-to meals here on the morning show at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. James, one of our producers says she has had lentils in her pantry for about a year, but doesn't actually really know what to do with them. How can we put those to use?
Lentils are a great staple to have on hand because they are a dried product, kind of like rice. And so then they will last almost indefinitely. They make a great soup. That is usually what Americans most think of when they're thinking of lentils. And it's real easy to do. You just throw them in a pan. I usually saute some vegetables first, so like onions, carrots, celery, whatever you got on hand. And then throw in the lentils and then either stock or water or tomato, like a crushed tomatoes. If you have some kind of soup, go ahead, throw that in as well, whatever you've got. And then it just needs to sit and cook. And it's usually going to take about an hour for lentils to soften up.
And how do you know when they're done?
Easiest way is just try one. Just take a bite and see if it's crunchy. You know you've got to go a little bit longer.
Okay.
And you don't want them to just kind of cook until they start falling apart.
Sure. So it's kind of like in that realm of pasta where you don't want it overcooked, you don't want it undercooked, and you might just have to try it a few times.
Right. But lentils, when they're al dente, you don't want al dente lentils. Just go a little bit further.
A little bit further. Okay, sounds good. I appreciate that because I think that is, we have this assumption that there are certain things that we should be able to cook that are those staples, and then we buy them, and then we go, goodness, like, how do I even start with this? And, you know, it might be a little bit of a challenging time to just try something that you haven't done before. I guess at the same time, maybe you've got the time for it now. I mean, do you encourage people to experiment right now?
Well, I always encourage people to experiment. There's no reason to be afraid of cooking. And so that's what I keep telling people. It's just like, try it. The worst case thing in a normal non-pandemic situation, you go out to eat. But for the most part, the food is going to be good. And you just have to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And so just start looking around. Look at websites. Find out the recipes that just kind of pique your interest. The lentil thing is a great example of one. It's like you've got the ingredient, but you're kind of nervous on what to do with it. But if you look, you'll find recipes that, you know, that sounds comforting. That sounds very familiar to what I know. Slow cookers. Like there's a number of slow cooker recipes on our website for lentils that you just throw it in there and you walk away and forget about it. And so there's a lot of things you can do like that. And I guarantee you there's not going to be many, many meals that you're like, okay, this is just disastrous. I can't eat this. It's like, you know what? It could have been better, but the disaster meals are going to be very, very few and far between.
I like the confidence that you have in each and every one of us without knowing us individually. That's very comforting.
I have faith.
Sounds great. James Shend with Taste of Home magazine is our guide to cooking right now while we're under an order to stay home as much as we can here in Wisconsin. We are stretching our budgets and our creativity here on The Morning Show, and we want to know, how are you making it all happen? How have you gotten clever with food? Does food intimidate you, or do you have this down? What cooking tips can you share with the rest of us? Maybe there's an ingredient in your pantry, maybe lentils or something else, that you just can't quite figure out how to use and still suit your family's tastes. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Perhaps you've been surviving on a diet of casseroles. Maybe you want to get out of the cereal rut. You can let us know your conundrum, even if you're putting together a grocery list today. What should we add to it? 800-642-1234. James Shen stays with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. We're learning more about cooking at home here on the Ideas Network because a lot more of us are spending a lot more time at home. We're talking about buying the right ingredients on those limited trips to the store and then making the most of our food. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. Before we hunkered down to slow the spread of a new coronavirus, we sent the kids to school and let them eat hot lunch. And we ate a meal or two solo at a restaurant near the office. But that's not how we're living right now, which means it's not how we're eating either. Let's talk about the versatility and bravery in the kitchen, cooking while cooped up. Your calls are welcome at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about cooking with what's in your pantry? Maybe you've invested in some staples and you're getting a little bit bored. Let us help. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Taste of Home magazine deputy editor James Shend is our guest. He's based out of Milwaukee. And we got an email from Grant saying a simple and easy dish to make from pantry ingredients is pasta puttanesca. Base ingredients are canned tomatoes, garlic, pasta of any kind, tomato paste, black olives, and olive oil. Grant says it's a breeze to make and delish, too. James, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's a classic dish from Naples. And like you said, I mean, you've got most of the ingredients in your pantry, so might as well go ahead and make it.
And, you know, what some people might only have something like black olives if they're getting down to the staples. But what if you don't have something like that? Could you substitute any of those ingredients with something else you've got?
Yes. I mean, to me, recipes are more of a suggested guideline. And so start with those things. And then it's like, all right, let's start rummaging and see what you've got. It's like, okay, you don't have capers. All right. Capers typically are salty and they add that touch of acid to it. And it's like, what else in our pantry do we have that could match that? And it's like, all right, you may have like a can of anchovies. And now is a good time to pull that out. It's like, I know a lot of people just at home just went, oh, no, I don't like anchovies. And it's like, that is one of those ingredients that it adds a great amount of flavor, a nice hit of salt. But a lot of times you don't taste it because you're not eating the anchovy fillet directly. So like in this pasta dish, what I would do is take the anchovy fillet, chop it up, and then just kind of make a paste out of it. And then mix it in. You get a lot of flavor, a nice bit of salt, but you're not tasting fish. So it's a good way to kind of substitute those things.
So we can really think about the quality of the ingredient that we're using and trying to replace and sort of match that with other tones.
Yes, perfectly. And and things like olive oil. If you don't have olive oil for a recipe, go ahead and use whatever oil you have or swap it out for butter. So like a good butter sauce would be a great thing to toss with pasta and anchovies and some herbs and whatever you've got.
We've got the lines open at 800-642-1234. We've also got emails coming in. And Aaron from Partyville sent us an email asking for new ideas for canned tuna or chicken. All right, James, so if we're getting beyond the tuna casserole, how are we going to use that fish in a can?
Well, oddly enough, I ran across a recipe just the other day that I'm like, that is so like 1950s, but I haven't had it for years. And I'm like, I remember it being really good. And I'm like, why didn't I do that? And it's like a tuna croquette. And so you mix up your canned tuna or canned salmon or whatever you've got with some vegetables, like usually finely chopped onions, and then like breadcrumbs, and then you make a little ball out of it, and then you deep fry it, or you just pan fry it. That is a really good option. Toss it with your pasta. So instead of like in the puntanesca, and it's like, go ahead, that is a great place to use those canned or pouched tunas. And so it's, a lot of people just think of it as a sandwich ingredient, and there's so much more you could be doing with that.
Right. I guess I think of the texture of it, and it's so much finer than if you're dealing with a chunk of some sort of meat. And that's what I think of to put in with things like pasta, you know, things that are kind of heartier or in larger pieces. And you're saying don't worry so much about that.
Don't worry about it. It's I like to use the canned tunas in things like this because you get it disperses evenly throughout the dish. But you don't need to have that big chew factor in there. So this is a good thing for like the canned products, the canned tunas and the canned salmons. You can also do make a filling. Like, it may sound odd, but you could make a filling for an omelet with tuna. And so, I mean, yeah, I know people, listeners are going, this guy's crazy. But
but if you're adding other things in with it and developing flavors.
Yeah, you just kind of have to get past the hurdle that tuna is more than just a tuna fish sandwich. I mean, you can use it in a lot of great things. So you wouldn't question me if I said, take a nice piece of salmon, grill it off, and then use slices of that in an omelet. You wouldn't blink twice at me for that. But when I say use canned tuna, it's like, then it, for some reason, that canned part just kind of tweaks it a little bit. So you got to kind of pull back some of those thoughts at this point now and just start experimenting and playing with them.
James Shend is telling us to get out of our own heads here as we're trying to figure out how to cook while we are hunkered down. Shend is the deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine and based in Milwaukee. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Tell us if cooking has become your new hobby. Maybe you've got an easy recipe to share, or you have a question about something that's tripping you up. We're here at 800-642-1234. And Barb from Grand Marsh wants to join the conversation. Hey, Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just calling because I have a couple of easy suggestions. One of my favorite things to eat in times of trouble or otherwise is, I call it chili spaghetti, a can of chili, Hormel chili. I don't like the beans in it. And spaghetti. And you could throw a can of tomatoes in there if you want to, but it's really good and it makes a lot. And it's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's a favorite.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it actually is. And good old grilled cheese is fun. And if you have leftovers, you can kind of throw them in. And to make it a little more fun, if you have the ability to do so, you can maybe make them with veggie pies outside at a campfire or on a grill or something. Kids might enjoy that a little bit more than just the regular sandwich.
Oh, sure. Barb, thanks. So Barb is pushing us past the pan on the cooktop or the oven and saying, use the grill, use the campfire here.
Right. I mean, anything is open at this point. And in fact, getting back to the caller before who was asking about involving kids, grilled cheese sandwich is a great recipe to have to get in kids involved. And it doesn't even need the stovetop. Because you could take, if you have a waffle iron or a waffle maker at home, put the sandwich together and throw it in the waffle iron. The kids are going to love that with the waffle pattern, but it still cooks it just like a panini press or your skillet would.
I had not thought of using the waffle iron in that way. And you're right, those ridges, it offers something different and unique. It might be the same ingredients, but it's just a little bit different.
Yeah, and kids are looking for that little bit of different. And one of the things I grew up with that I actually made a couple of days ago was a grilled peanut butter and marshmallow sandwich. And it's something my mother would make for us, but I threw it in the waffle iron. And I'm like, okay, that just adds just a whole different fun to this. You can throw in some chocolate. You can throw in fresh strawberries or whatever you've got, a little bit of jam. And as Barb was mentioning with the grilled cheese, if you have any, like, leftover vegetables, throw them in there. Fresh onion or slices of fresh tomato in a grilled cheese sandwich is outstanding. So there's a lot of ways that you can customize it. Go ahead, throw in some of canned tuna.
Yeah, we're just going to find all these ways to use the tuna at this point. Barb, thank you so much for that call at 800-642-1234. There's still room for you in our discussion. If you'd like to weigh in and give us a call to talk about using the staples in our pantry and kind of branching out into different things to make sure that we're not eating the same thing over and over. James, you mentioned eggs earlier, but let's talk about a couple of ways we can dress them up for a meal outside of breakfast. What's your go-to?
So a dish that I make that's really fast, really easy, and uses, again, a lot of pantry things. Excuse me. I'll saute up some onions and a little bit of garlic, and then you'll throw in like a can or two of diced tomatoes. And with the liquid, just throw it right into the pan, bring it to a simmer, and then you let it simmer for a little bit until it starts to thicken up a little bit. Then you can, like, take a spoon and push wells into them, like four individual wells, and then crack an egg and put them in each of the wells, cover the skillet, and then let it go. And you have a classic dish that's called shakshuka, or eggs in purgatory. You throw in some hot sauce and you're good to go. And so that's one great way to use it. To me, deviled eggs are good any time of the day. And I'll make them and I'll have them for breakfast, lunch, dinner. I'll take them to work as a snack. I am a huge fan of deviled eggs. So that is another one. Breakfast for dinner is one of those things that for the magazine is always a huge feature in whenever we do it. And I defy you to find a kid who doesn't love to have breakfast at the wrong time of day. So I mean, it
there are rebels among us.
Yeah. And so, and it, what's great about it too, is it's very cost effective because most breakfast dishes are, don't cost a lot of money. Pancakes, waffles, things like that. You're using very few ingredients. You're getting a lot of volume out of it. So it's a great way to kind of extend that thing. And the kids absolutely adore that.
Yeah, we're looking at how to reduce the number of trips we take to the grocery store and make multiple meals from the ingredients that we do buy and that we've got on hand. James Shend with Taste of Home magazine is our guide to cooking when we are here. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite easy recipes to make in a pinch? What ingredient do you need a little bit of advice on? We've got you covered here on the Ideas Network. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina, and this conversation continues here on The Morning Show. What's the one ingredient in your pantry that you just can't figure out how to use? Maybe you found a creative way to prepare a food that you used to overlook. Share your shelter-in-place recipes with us right now. Call 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about ingredients we can use multiple ways, and we're discovering how to repurpose and transform our leftovers. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. James Shend is the deputy editor of Taste of Home, taking your questions now. And Matt from Coon Valley wants to join the conversation. Good morning, Matt. Oh, looks like we've lost Matt, but I do know what Matt, about what Matt was going to say. He says that a twist on deviled eggs that he does is he and his dad put raw eggs in the smoker and smoke them for about 2 hours at 200 degrees. And he says that that's just incredible. James, smoke deviled eggs. Sounds great.
Smoking raw. Now, that sounds intriguing. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't smoked. I have not used the smoker for deviled eggs or for hard eggs, but I am notoriously bad at being able to gauge when to stop boiling them. Everybody has this like strategy that they know works perfectly, and I've tried them, and it just doesn't work for me. So I've started doing them in the oven in muffin tins, and that has actually worked really well for our family. So I guess you just have to figure out kind of what works for you when you're trying to cook for the people you love.
There's many ways to cook an egg, and like a lot of, I've seen the pressure cooker, like the Instant Pots, do a phenomenal job of hard boiling eggs.
Interesting. All right, Kay from Grand Chute is here with us now. Hi, Kay.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, it's so nice that you are still talking. I come from the poverty line, and I know exactly how the blacks feel, because we were also that way. And a long time ago, my mother, who was the best cook in three counties, she would always see that we would have a good warm meal in the morning before we went to school, after she had already fed my dad and sent him off to work. But my favorite thing was hot cereal, cream of wheat or Quaker Oats. But anyway. And
Kay, thank you so much for that, because what I hear in what Kay's saying, beyond just the food, James, is that all of this food conversation is connected to memories for Kay.
Yeah. And food and smells of cooking are phenomenal memory triggers. And like I mentioned a little while ago, it's like the grilled peanut butter and marshmallow sandwich is something that is so ingrained in me that my mother made. And as Kay was saying, the cereals and the cream of wheat, cream of oats, things like that are a lot of cereals that we grew up with. And we kind of move past them in some kind or some ways. And so when we're kind of trapped at home, now is the time to start exploring those things again. Think about what you had as a kid and what is going to give you some comfort. And but you can also take those things and then start playing with them a little bit more.
Sure. Modernize them or help them suit your taste. James Shend is deputy editor of Taste of Home magazine based in Milwaukee. And we are having a conversation about how to cook with the staples in your pantry, or maybe to branch out a little bit on that one grocery run you're making every week or two. And you're listening to it here on The Morning Show. And Russ from Stoughton has a question for us. Hey, Russ.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to suggest, as possibly a previous caller suggested, that now that the weather is breaking, it's time to get out to barbecue, and which opens a whole realm of different types of cooking rather than the stovetop or the oven. And one of my favorites is making shish kebabs. And I wanted to know if the guest had any suggestions on every time I make shish kebabs and you put the quartered chunks of tomato and meat and onion and whatever on there, after a while, a few minutes, you need to turn them. Every time I try and turn mine, they spin back to their previous position, and I can't get them to the other side. I wonder if is there some secret to the way you bring on...
Yeah, there's an easy way to fix that. Use two skewers. So you skewer through all your stuff once, and then you move about a half an inch to one side of that skewer and then skewer it again. And then that way, when you pick it up with the tongs, it's both of the skewers are going to secure it so you can turn the whole thing completely over without the food spinning.
Aha, two skewers.
Great.
Russ, I hope that helps, and I hope it makes it a little bit easier to handle so you're not dealing with the spinning
yeah.
the whole time.
I always been wondering how people did that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, give us an update. Send us an email afterwards. Let us know how it worked out for you. We also had John from Delafield who couldn't stay with us but wanted to remind people about using bacon fat as an ingredient. John says you don't have to throw it away. James, how can we use bacon fat?
Oh, bacon fat is great. A lot of people are coming back to it. I keep seeing the bacon jars in all the high-end lines of kitchen equipment now. And the one thing to kind of keep in mind is when you're using it, you got to keep it refrigerated for safety reasons. Now, I know a lot of people are like, no, I remember my mother having that jar sitting out on the counter. And it's like, well, right now we're advising you to put it in your refrigerator. When you're frying bacon and you're putting the bacon fat into the jar, it's really good to strain out any bits that may be left so you're ending up with just the pure fat. But you can saute with it just like any other, like oil or butter. I grease pans with it. You can, it's really good to put a dollop of that in a skillet, heat it up, and then pour cornbread batter into it. So there's a lot of ways you can use it. You can even, this may sound odd, but you can use it as a replacement in pie crust. So instead of using butter or shortening, you can use bacon fat in the pie crust because it's basically lard. And so it makes a beautiful texture of your pie crust.
And do you get some of the bacon flavor? Because I could see it working really well with some sort of quiche or anything like that. Or do you not really taste the bacon?
You'll taste it a little bit, but usually the ingredients in the pie are so flavorful that you're going to cover up the flavor of the pie crust unless you take a piece of it, the crust, just directly. But, yeah, I would use it for more savory things like a pot pie or a quiche or something like that.
More things that you can start with a base and then just start dumping things into that you've got left over or in your pantry.
Yep.
All right. And then last little bit here, if people are just not sure where to start and they've been in a rut, what's one dish that you say, you know what, you probably got stuff, throw it all together, this is what you can do later today. Do you have a go-to?
I've got a couple, and pastas are usually one of them. I always have pasta in there in my pantry. I always have tomatoes of some kind, usually tomato paste. So what I will typically often do is, again, start with some vegetables. So onions, I'll get them caramelized really, really well, then throw in some garlic, and then whatever seasoning, if I'm using some dried herbs, I'll always add those to the onions and garlic in the oil. That way they'll saute out a little bit and then start to bloom the flavors a little bit more. So if you have herbs and spices that are sitting in your cabinet for quite a while, this is a great way to, liven them back up again. Mm-hmm. And then you can add a little bit of red wine. Red wine is always good in a pasta sauce. And capers, if you've got them, and then go ahead and add whatever tomato products you've got. Very easy to do. Comes together in about 10, 15 minutes. And you don't need to have the jarred pasta sauces. But if you've got those, that's a great way to use those up. But then toss in a little red wine or a little bit of vinegar to kind of give it that pop of freshness.
Oh, that sounds incredible. James, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
James Shend is the deputy editor of Taste of Home. You've been hearing from him here on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.